It's a great privilege to be on another episode of the Good Success Podcast, also called The Secret Flow. We are all welcome today, and I pray that no one will return back the same way. I pray that everyone will grasp the secret of true knowledge, knowledge that brings profit and good success, in the name of Jesus. And I pray that no one of us will return back the same way, but we surely have an encounter that brings transformation and change, in the name of Jesus. Praise God. The topic remains the law of knowledge. Last week we were able to unleash the topic called the law of influence, and we saw that as one of the proven secrets of transgenerational success. What does transgenerational success mean? It means success that goes from one family to the next family after it, to children, to children's children. And that is exactly what God wants to do for you and I. Remember, in this series, we've been able to go through the law of continuity, the law of leadership, the law of influence, and today the law of knowledge. What is this knowledge about? What kind of knowledge are we talking about? Okay, so first and foremost, let's read some scriptures. Proverbs 18:15, it says, "The heart of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge." I'll go through that again. "The heart of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge." The second scripture we are looking at today is Proverbs chapter 1 verse 7 and Proverbs 9:10. So I'll just paraphrase because they say basically the same thing. "The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom," meaning that if you want to have wisdom or knowledge, the fear of God is the beginning of it. What is knowledge? Have you heard the phrase before, "Know your onions"? Having the right knowledge about the necessary things is a major step in getting good success. That means if I don't know the things I'm supposed to know, if I am not aware of the things I'm supposed to be aware of, if I don't have the right knowledge or information or truth or facts I'm supposed to have in different areas of life, that means I may not have good success in such areas of life. Knowledge is an advantage, and until you realize how many people don't really know the things you know, have the knowledge you have, then until you realize that, you won't know the value of the things you know. The difference between you and a younger boy or child is because of the things you know. You know so many things the person doesn't know, and that is why you can influence them. You can show them the way to go. You've fallen into a pit before. You can tell them, "Hey, don't tread that path, because if you tread it, you are likely going to fall into a pit." Knowledge. Knowledge is a virtue. Knowledge is like, you know, when you have something of high quality, what is it called? Knowledge is something you can use as a support. Knowledge is what you can bank on, that because I know this, I can take this step. Now, Mike Miller says something in his book, Grim Seeds. He said, "What will you attempt to do if you knew you wouldn't fail? If you knew that that business is going to bring a lot of profit, what will you attempt to do? What are you going to do? Are you going to step out and fail and go out if you are so sure it won't fail?" I'm sure that almost all of us, we are going to step out and do that thing if we are so sure we won't fail. The reason many of us are laid back and we won't take that step is because we are not sure of the future that is ahead. So knowledge is very important. Now, we said today will be in commemoration of the independence of Nigeria. Remember the national anthem in the second stanza. What does it say? It says, you know, the stanza is a prayer. It says, "Lord, teach our youth the truth to know." Meaning that if the youth of the nation will not know the truth, the nation will not move forward. And that's exactly what we have known. If you realize in a nation over the past years, when there were no social media options and all that, we realize that everything was going as usual. But guess what happened during the NSAS? Because everybody was aware of what was happening, because of that information, people were ready to make a change. People were ready to get on the streets. So the same way in life, and even in our nation, if we care to know more of the truth, you know, we have realized what has happened. Everybody is aware on social media and WhatsApp. You have this information at your fingertips. So you can take action. You can say, no, we are not going this route. This is exactly what we're going to do. So I believe our nation will move forward if many of us are aware of the things happening, aware of the history. That's one of the things we should be aware of. That's one of the knowledge we need to have. So not just our nation now, in our personal life. So whatever we discuss today is also something that we can apply in our nation. But today we are majorly focusing on ourselves as Nigerians, as foreigners, or whatever country you are listening from, that God wants you to have some certain knowledge, some certain areas of knowledge you are supposed to be aware of for you to have serious progress and good success in life. For you to have transgenerational success, there are some things you need to know. So we're going to spend good time on this today. If need be, we may split this into two. So let's just get on with the topic. What is the importance of knowledge? Knowledge is the foundation of wisdom. Just like in the Bible, hope is the foundation of faith. If you don't have hope, you can't have faith. That's why the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That means you must be open to see that thing. You must have a kind of desire in your heart that you want to see that thing before you can have it, before you can even apply the word of God to it and get it. So the same way we have hope as the foundation of faith, the same way we have knowledge as the foundation of wisdom. If you are not aware of what you're supposed to do, you cannot do it. If you are not aware that if I put money in this business, it's going to bring this profit, you are not going to do it. Just like myself, I believe I've shared this before, that I used to do designs, do all this, creativity and all that, but I was never aware of a particular platform. And until somebody saw me that I was doing it and introduced me and said, hey, this platform, there are many people who are looking for your kind of skill. If you get on this platform, you're going to be able to make a lot of money. And when I got on that platform, I was able to see people who needed my kind of skill. But for several years of my life, I was not aware. This same school I went to, people were on that platform, I was not aware. So I was never able to maximize it. So knowledge is very important. If you don't know what God wants, if you don't know what God's will is, if you don't know what you're supposed to do next, if you don't know who you're supposed to marry, you just see the person every day and you won't know the person supposed to be your wife. You're going to see the business and pass through opportunities every day and not know you're supposed to maximize that opportunity. So it is very important for you and I to understand that knowledge is a very critical thing in having good success in life. Knowledge is the foundation of wisdom, as we said earlier. And while wisdom is the application of knowledge or the information received, knowledge is just the acquired information. So if you don't have the information, you can act on it. That is why knowledge is very, very critical. Knowledge is also called information. It is called data. It is called truth. It is called fact. But it is just that information you have access to that helps you to change your life. What are the types of knowledge you and I must have to have good success, or to be influential, or to have influence on people? What are the types of knowledge we must have? Number one, we are looking at about 10 types of knowledge today. Number one is the knowledge of God. Knowledge of God. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. There is wisdom, there is knowledge, there is understanding. If you miss any one of the three, you may be missing a lot in life. So, knowledge, if you want to have the right kinds of knowledge in life and be able to maximize it, first make sure you have the knowledge of God. Because if you don't have the knowledge of God, if you don't have a relationship with God, you won't be able to filter out what is right knowledge, what is wrong knowledge, which one you are supposed to apply and which one you are not supposed to apply. What is foolishness? Foolishness is when somebody doesn't have enough knowledge, or when he has the knowledge and doesn't know how to apply it, or when he has the knowledge and applies it in the wrong way. That is what foolishness is all about. When we are aware of God, when we have the knowledge of God, when we are able to know what God wants per time, we know who God is, not even what God wants now, who God is. The Bible says, a fool says in his heart, there is no God. So he doesn't know God. That is why he became a fool. God made people. God made the earth. God created everything. If you don't know the person who manufactured all these things, how are you going to maximize all the things he manufactured. Your wife, your parents, your friends, your children, your business, everything, they directly or indirectly came from God. So you and I must be able to have good knowledge of God, good relationship with God, for us to maximize all the kinds of knowledge there are. So you need the proper knowledge of God and relate with him very well for you to have the right knowledge of things around you. There are many things you don't even know. There are many things that you see every day that you don't know you can maximize. But when you are close to God, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you can see beyond the norm. You can see beyond the normal things that everybody can see. What types of knowledge must you and I have? We have talked about the knowledge of God. Number two, the knowledge of yourself. Knowledge of yourself. There was a man in the Bible named Gideon. I think we mentioned him a couple of weeks ago. Gideon was already anointed by God. Gideon has been assigned by God to deliver his people. Yet Gideon was thinking about himself as the least man in the world. Why did I say the least man in the world? Because Gideon said in Israel, "My father's family is the smallest in our clan, and I'm the smallest in my father's house." So he judged himself to be the least in the world. Yet what did the angel say to him? He said, "Thou mighty man of valor, go in this thy strength." God was calling him a mighty man, but he didn't see himself as such. So knowledge of yourself, of who you are, of who God has made you to be, is very critical in your success in life. For you and I to have good success, I must know what makes me unique from other people. What makes me different from other people? Your talents, your natural inclinations, what made you who you are? God made you on purpose. Not just for a purpose, God made you on purpose. You know, we are used to the fact that God made us for a purpose, to do something. But it's not only that. God made you on purpose. He created some things inside of you. The reason you can sing and others can't sing like you is because God needed that singing skill for something. We have seen some pastors who are very good in singing. They are not singing, but that singing is necessary for their ministry. We have seen some people, all they can do in their life is run. They are very athletic, but they can't sing. Academic wise, they are not good. And some people, academics, they are very good. They are meant to be professors, teaching other people and imparting knowledge. And some people, all they are supposed to do is business, not even academics, not a job, business. So you must know who you are for you to be able to maximize your own life. So we have seen knowledge of God, knowledge of yourself. If you don't know your uniqueness from other people, you try to become other people. You see somebody selling beans today, you wake up and say, "Hey, I want to sell beans." You see somebody in tailoring today, "I want to be in tailoring." You see somebody going to school, "Oh, I'm going back to school. I need to have my master's. I need to have doctorate. I need to have whatever they call it." But you must know your uniqueness. You must know what makes you different. And like I've said sometimes ago, because you spend 4 years in school studying something does not mean you have to be limited the whole of your life. If you spend 5 years studying a course, just like some of us did, maybe 5 years, 7 years with other courses you did, you don't have to be limited. Don't be stuck because you did a 5-year course. How long are you going to live? God designed you and I to live for 120 years. So, I don't know whatever your age is now. That means you still have time. You still have room to become whatever you want to be. Maybe you made a mistake to study the course you studied. But don't be stuck. You can still start afresh and new and maximize your life. So, knowledge of yourself is very, very important. Next important one and knowledge you must have is the knowledge of other people. You must understand that people are unique and people are different. God made people differently. God made people to be different. No, one person from another. One person is skilled in one way, like we mentioned earlier, and somebody else is not skilled in another place. So, I'm talking about how you relate with other people now. Someone else is an extrovert. Someone is an introvert. Don't relate with them the same way. And you know, business people, sales people, they are very aware of this truth. Knowledge of others. The Bible says, Jesus, because he knew people, John 2:25, it says, "And he had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man." You and I also must know the difference in people. When you want to sell a good, like I did a little training in sales recently, and the person taught us was telling us about different kinds of people. someone who is analytical, someone who is just laid back. It is another person who is busy. And when you meet him, the way he attacks you like, I'm busy, what do you want? You are swept up your feet. But the person may be the best customer you have in the world. So you must know the difference. When somebody says, I'm busy, then don't waste the time of the person. Go straight to the point. That's what the person is saying. He's not saying go away. He's just saying go straight to the point. What exactly do you need? And someone is saying, oh, he's ready to tell you all the story of his life. Flow along, but don't be too carried away with that story. Just a lesson in sales now. The same way, you're going to relate with people at different levels in life. And guess what? Life is all about business. Whether you are winning souls to the kingdom of God is still a business. Jesus even says, should I not be about my father's business? Whatever brings profit is called business. So if you are even a pastor, winning souls, what is your business? The business of bringing people to the kingdom of God. What is the profit? God is happy, you are happy, and you are getting blessed. So if you are doing business, you are selling something, the same way, you want to know how to relate with people. The way you relate with your children is not the same way you relate with other people's children. You must know the difference. The way you relate with your spouse is not the same way you relate with another person. For example, as a man, you can't relate with another woman at your place of work the same way you relate with your wife. No, you just be causing trouble for yourself. So you must know the difference. Just an analogy for us to understand that. There is a difference between how you relate with different people. Don't relate with people at the same level. The way you relate with your pastor is not the same way you relate with your teacher. The way you relate with your parents is not the same way you relate with an elderly man at the street. No, they are different people. Your parents, God said, honor your father and your mother that it may be well with you. It's a different ballgame when it comes to parents. The same way other people, maybe a friend. For example, your parent needs something, your friends need something. Who are you going to choose first? Your parents, of course, because they are different kinds of people. You must know the difference in people. If you don't know that, it will bring a lot of troubles to someone's life. And I pray that you and I will not be in troubles in Jesus' name. So, have the knowledge of people. Know that people are different. Someone will naturally be happy. And someone else is moody until they find someone else who can make him happy. But they are different. People are different from each other. So, we have seen the knowledge of God, the knowledge of yourself, the knowledge of others. Knowing the difference between people. Then now we are looking at the knowledge of good and evil. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2 verse 9 that the tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I want to assume that Adam and Eve probably just went beyond their time. They jumped the gun to go and eat of the tree of good and evil. Why did God put it in the garden? I'm sure probably God still wants them to eat it. It's just not time yet. Now, I've seen something in the Bible. Go and check everyone that made it well in the Bible. They were able to know the difference between good and evil. What did Solomon pray for? He said, I want to discern between good and evil. I want to be able to judge your people aright because I don't know my right hand from my left hand. That's the summary of his prayer. And if you look at Hebrews 5:14, it says, solid food belongs to those who are full of age. That is, those by reason of use have been able to discern between one thing or the other. Discern between good and bad. Discern between what is right and what is not right. So God wants you and I to know the difference between good and evil. If Joseph did not know the difference between good and evil, he would never have fulfilled his destiny. So you and I must know the difference between good and evil. And what is the best way to do that? Reading your scriptures. My tribe, what we call good and evil, is different from what some other tribes will call good and evil. But the Bible tells us and gives us the basis of what good and evil is. If you read Galatians 5, for example, 19, it tells us the lust of the flesh, all the things that are the works of the flesh. Then it tells us of the fruit of the Spirit. It tells us what to do, what not to do. It differentiates between good and evil. So, we must know the difference between good and evil if you really want to have transgenerational success. Some people, the reason why they were cut short is because they were not able to make it right when it comes to their moral life. Someone, because of lying, he missed it. Someone, because he could not overcome greed, he missed it. Someone, because maybe he could not keep his sexual desires under, he missed it. So, knowledge of good and evil. You must know what good is. You must know what evil is. The Bible says, when you go out, be wise as serpents. A serpent can go unnoticed. A serpent knows how to move. Then God says, be as gentle as a lamb. A lamb just goes on innocently, gently, friendly with everyone. A serpent knows how to attack. So God is saying, know the difference between good and evil. As a child of God, know when there is spiritual warfare. Know when there is, oh, Father, I thank you. It is a different kind of prayer. I just recommend that everyone, you can just go and listen to the episode on prayer. How to get God to answer your prayers all the time. Different kinds of prayer. So, have the knowledge of good and evil. Know the difference between the two. Know when it is wrong to do something and know when it is right to do something. For example, sex in the context of marriage is good. Outside the context of marriage is wrong. So, good and evil. Something that is good in a context may be bad in another context. Know the difference between good and evil. Then, number 5, financial knowledge. I'll run through what we have gone through before. Knowledge of God. Knowledge of yourself. Knowledge of others. Then, knowledge of good and evil. Then, number 5, financial knowledge. That's where we'll stop today. Next week, we look at knowledge of skill and business, knowledge of times and seasons, environment, difference, and how to get knowledge. So while we wrap up now, financial knowledge, this is very, very important. The Bible says in Luke 16:11, it says, if you have not been faithful, if you have not known how to maximize, that's in my own English, maximize unrighteous mammon. Mammon is not demon. The meaning of mammon is money. Simple as that. So, he says, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you the true riches? You can see that the second part of the scripture is talking about riches. So, mammon means money, actually. If you read other translations, I'm sure they probably change it to money. So, mammon means money. It's not demons. So, God is saying, if you are not faithful, when it comes to natural money, that's the meaning of that. It's not that money is unrighteous. No. He's saying, common money, common things that can be handled by believers and unbelievers alike. He said, if you are not able to maximize this world, if you are not able to get 1,000 and you are able to multiply it financially, he said, who will now give you the true riches? Have you noticed that most of the pastors that are doing fine in ministry, many of them did well when they were doing business. Many of them did well when they had career. Many of them did well in academics. Did we notice that? I'm yet to find any man of God that is doing really great now that didn't do well when he was doing his own business. No. Because God will test you with unrighteous mammon. God will test you with how you deal with the things of this world. If you are doing ordinary business, that's what God is saying. Ordinary business, and you cannot multiply it, and you cannot succeed in it. God is saying, so why should I give you the things of God? Why should I give you the true things? Why should I see you and help you to impact other people and have generational success? He says, you can't undo ordinary, these ordinary things. Why should I give you more? And God is saying, he is faithful in little, is faithful in much. The way God judges things, is this. If you are not faithful in very tiny things, little things, God is saying, I will not give you much. Imagine that parable where the man gave 5 talents to someone. And the man said, I made 5 more talents. And the owner said, go and take over cities. Is it not funny? 5 to 10, just money, like 5,000. You turn it to 10,000 and you say, wow, then you can undo 10,000 cities. Isn't that funny? But God is saying that is exactly how he judges. Maybe in your church, you are just asked to oversee the ushering group or just the children and you are not doing it well. Sometimes you are there, sometimes you are not there. God is saying this one is not serious. If you cannot undo this little group, why should I make you the richest in the world? Why should I make sure your business booms? Because when your business booms, you will not come again. So God decides to keep the person at the same level. God forbid. So God wants you and I to have financial knowledge. I believe we'll dwell more on this later. Financial knowledge is talking about you being able to handle money. There is a way to handle money. There is a way to multiply money. There are secrets of prosperity in the kingdom that you and I must know. If you don't know it, if you like, pray, fast, do all the spiritual exercise, the person will remain the same. For example, something as simple as giving. Giving to the poor, giving your offerings, giving your tithes, giving to parents. If you don't do all these things, all of them, not some, all of them, the person will not enjoy true riches of the kingdom of God. Unbelievers don't have to do this, but the moment you are born again, you are a child of God. The way it works is different. It's just like if you are in one state, the laws that govern one state in a country may be different from the law that govern the other state. The law that govern a whole country, if you go to another country, you'll be shocked at how different these laws are. Driving in one nation is different from the way you drive in other places. You may even have to start learning afresh. I've had that experience that I'm not even feeling like I've never driven before. Now, these laws are different. The moment you become born again, every believer must understand that the way it will work in the kingdom of God is not the way it works in the world. Forget what you learn in the world. In the world, they will tell you save, save, save so that you can have a lot. In the kingdom of God, save and give. That's how it works. If you don't give and you only save, the person will just be saving and the money will be disappearing in the kingdom of God. If you give and you don't save, the person will be giving all and will still not get. God says, the righteous man guides his affairs with discretion. There is a percentage to give. There's a percentage to save. There's a percentage to invest. So all these things, financial knowledge, these things come when you intentionally look for where to get information, intentionally read books, intentionally study. You must have this knowledge if you really, really want to have good success. Because, go and check the Bible. There is no one that was used mightily of God that didn't have to handle finances. Even Jesus Christ had the treasurer. Meaning that money must be kept accurately and in an organized way. Many of us, you think you have a million, but you don't even know that you are owing maybe a million. How do we know that? When you look at all the bills that are upcoming, but because you didn't calculate, you didn't check what you have versus what is coming and versus what you are owing, so to say. When I say owing now, I'm talking about the things that are bills that are coming, upcoming. For example, if you don't have your own house yet, that means you are going to pay rent. It's a bill and it is sure that it will come. If you don't subtract it from what you think you have a lot. So God wants us to have financial knowledge, how to handle our money appropriately. This is one of the areas of knowledge you and I must have. It is time, let me just run through what we did again. Knowledge of God, knowledge of yourself, knowledge of others, knowledge of good and evil, then financial knowledge. So next week, we'll continue a part two of this same topic, the law of knowledge, and we'll be looking at knowledge of your skill and business. Knowledge of times and seasons, knowledge of environment, and knowledge of your difference. Then we look at how to get knowledge. Then we'll be talking about different areas of getting knowledge, which includes academic knowledge, spiritual knowledge, emotional intelligence, financial education, and how you get some knowledge because of your age. So let's plan to be here again next week. And while we do that, we're going to unmute everyone and we'll be able to ask questions. If you have any question, so you'll be able to unmute yourself now to ask a question in case you have any. Praise God. Okay, so do we have any question? Yes, I'm allowing us to speak right away. Welcome to our first timers today, Brother Abiodun. Welcome, Brashim. Welcome, sir. We are happy to have you in our midst today. Okay, so in the absence of any question, I will just be expecting us again next week. Please don't miss next week. It's going to be powerful. Let's remember the form. I said I promised to send a form over last week, but it's not ready yet. So this week, by God's grace, it will be available. We are talking about the 300, like the 300 of Gideon. We talked about how we can impact minimum 300 people in our lifetime. So please, let's expect the form. Anyone who is, I believe everyone should be interested, because the more you become a blessing to people and influence to people, the more God will also bless you and I too. So the goal is for you and I to be able to mentor at least two people in your family, your friends, people that will not listen to some other people but you. They've seen how you've succeeded. They've seen the things you've overcome, and they are just waiting for you to impact them. And it's very simple. You can get 10 people, you can get 20 people, but minimum 2 that you talk to. And what we are doing is to create a platform where we can measure our progress, where you can see, you know, after you mentor 2 people, the 2 people can mentor 2 other people. That's Each person can mentor two other people and on like that. Before you know it, in 8 steps, just like they do in multi-level marketing, in 8 steps, you will be able to touch 300 people. And the easiest way to change a nation, to change a community, like someone said, is just make sure 300 people who are ready to change them are there. They said that is the strategy that the Romans used. If they want to change any community, they want to influence them, they want to put their ideologies there, they just send 300 people to live among them. And before you know it, they will impact everyone. And guess what? What we call democracy today, what the system that almost every nation is using today, came from Rome. Whatever you call them, Europe or whatever, they all, those ideologies came from Rome. How did they do it? They made sure they were making colonies. They were putting their culture and their thinking and ideology into everyone. And guess what? We are all impacted by it today. So we can also change the narrative. You and I can start with 2 people. Make sure you talk to them about God. Talk to them. You know, what we are raising is not just people who are spiritual in quotes, who are just going to church. No. People who are spiritual in church, outside, and also making great impact. So that's it. So let's close today. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to learn again at your feet today. Thank you for the word you send our way. And Lord, we ask that you send your grace upon everyone to be able to maximize all the kinds of knowledge so that we can have good success in every area of life. Let it be awesome, God. Thank you, mighty Redeemer. In Jesus Christ's mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. So let's have a great week and remember to impact someone and bring the word of God to people. Amen. Okay, see you next week. Thank you so much. Bye.
The good success.com.